The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Dennis Morris of KLEM in Lamar's and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Dennis, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right. Thank you, and good morning, Senator. And before I go any further, I hope you have a good Merry Christmas. So let's talk about the COVID-19 bill, the relief bill. Is that going to be done before Congress adjourns?
All I can say is I hope so. It needs to be done, and there's so much agreement on so many different parts of it that are bipartisan. We should pass those bipartisan issues and leave out the ones where there isn't bipartisan agreement. And there's only two that keep popping up. There may be more than two, but two that keep popping up that there can't reach an agreement on. And Republicans don't like federal aid to states because we feel too many states are irresponsible how they handle their own finances. And the other one is that Democrats don't like what Republicans are trying to accomplish, having a moratorium on some lawsuits connected with the virus. And that's why we could have a bipartisan agreement by putting both of those in, or you could have a bipartisan agreement leaving them both out and go with everything else. And I'll give you some examples of everything else so you know that there's really a need for it. Unemployment compensation. We need to do K-12 help for them because they're spending a lot of money that they probably don't have to do what the federal government requires, keep the kids safe and the teachers safe. Help for small business through the PPP program that we had in the spring, so those small businesses can stay open, keep their people employed. Then there's a need for more testing, and there's a need for more money to get the vaccines distributed. And then there's dozens of other things I could add to it, but you can see the need just from the four or five examples I gave you.
And one quick question, if I may, what date is it that the Congress is and the Senate is scheduled to adjourn for the year?
December 18th.
Okay, thank you.
Aaron.
Yes, I will follow up on that a little bit, too. You said there are concerns about how states would be spending that state aid, or you know, or do you have some examples of things that you have personally found concerning that states are doing, or do you think do you think Iowa is doing well with its spending?
Well, Iowa has a surplus. They keep their rainy day funds filled, so I think we're an example of handling our income and outgo responsibly. There's several other states fall into that category, but I'd rather give you an example that Senator Scott of Florida gives. Senator Scott was governor for 8 years. His state is bigger population-wise than New York. He said that when he took over as governor, now that'd be about 10 years ago, the state was in debt, always increasing taxes, and he says he got the state in balance, reduced taxes several times, and he compares Florida with New York, where they have all sorts of financial problems, highest taxes, more spending, et cetera, et cetera. And so he would say, why should Florida people be taxed for the irresponsibility of New York? Let's go to Dennis.
All right. Thank you, Senator. As you know, Pfizer and soon Moderna are going to be releasing their COVID-19 vaccines. A couple of questions here. Do you have confidence in those vaccines? And I guess there's going to be maybe a third one that might be released. And should the Food and Drug Administration conducted additional testing before releasing those vaccines?
No, on the latter course, because I think that they've been very diligent in doing it. Unlike Russia and China, you read about, where they start vaccinating people before they even had the tests that we've had. And, you know, some of these had gone through 40,000 people that were guinea pigs. Another one worldwide is using 60,000. Then it comes back and it's reviewed by FDA, but reviewed by a bunch of scientists and doctors and epidemiologists that are very independent of the FDA. And the one that's out now has had that approval, and I think next week Moderna's going to go through that approval. So I would I have no doubt about the confidence of it. Your first question, I think I kind of missed the point of it.
Well, basically, if you have, you said you have confidence, I guess I'll just follow up. Will you yourself be wanting to get the vaccine?
Yeah, and there's a priority list, and when my name comes up on the priority, I will get one, and I assume that maybe because I'm in my 80s, I come up sooner than others, but don't forget I was tested positively, and so there's a feeling, at least for a short period of time, maybe a few months, I've got that I won't get it again for a while.
Antibodies tested?
Yeah, that's the word. And so I might not come up as fast as somebody that had never had the virus. Aaron?
Yeah, we're going to switch subject here a little bit. The Supreme Court, I think it was Friday night, rejected the lawsuit from Texas regarding the presidential election. Is the election settled, in your opinion, at this point? And are we? And how do we move forward if it is?
Well, I consider your question a friendly question, but sometimes I get the question here on the Hill from journalists that's not so friendly.
Yeah.
And I like to think in terms of you're asking me about whether or not Biden's president-elect.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
The Constitution says he's president-elect, but I wonder, and again, your question is not an unfriendly question, but from people here, I'd like to say to them, you know, you keep asking me about when I'm going to say Biden is president-elect. I said I've served under the elections of maybe 6 or 7 different presidents, maybe 8 or 9. I don't know what the number is. And I've never been asked that question. So why are you asking me? That's the thought that goes through my mind. I didn't express it to him. But yes, the Constitution says that he's president-elect. Dennis Morris?
All right. Congresswoman-elect Ashley Hinson has indicated that she would probably be in favor of seeing a raising of the age for Social Security benefits that would start, obviously, with people in their 20s right now just entering the workforce world and not those that are getting closer already on Social Security. But I just wanted to hear your thoughts about that. The problems that the government has with the financial situation, is that something that should be looked at?
Yeah. Not by itself, but it's one of the things that should be on the table. I think you have to do like we did in 1984 when there wasn't any money left in the Social Security Trust Fund. There's still some money in the Social Security Trust Fund. So whether we have to deal with this in 5 years or 10 years kind of depends on how the economy goes. A bad economy, I'd say in 5 years. A good economy, maybe in 10 or 15 years. Anyway, what she's suggesting, along with tax increases and some change of formulas and just everything. In other words, if we went with her idea, let's say increasing full payment of retirement from 67, where the law says it is now, to 68 or 69, that would take care of a big part of the problem, but it wouldn't do everything that needs to be done for what the trustees say we should be doing, is changing it so over the next 75 years, it will be sound. So it's a good idea, but it's not the only idea. And there's a lot of other things you could do that maybe you wouldn't have to change the retirement age. But I think she's open to a lot of things, not just that. Back to Aaron.
Yeah. If you could set a sort of a New Year's resolution or goal for the country as a whole for 2021, sort of set a theme to start us off on the year right, like what would you focus on for next year?
Well, Dennis's question reminds me of one thing that we all know there's a responsibility to do, and that is to make Medicare and Social Security sound for our children and grandchildren. So I wouldn't want to leave that off the list. Now, realistically, there's not a good chance of getting the bipartisan agreement you need to do that, but that would be what I would do. Then I would say, in addition to that, I would make sure that some of the pension systems that aren't sound, like the multi-employer pension system that I've spent a year working on, and I thought we were going to reach a bipartisan agreement next week. It looks like we've made progress, but not reaching it, so I'd want to finish that. I would want to make sure that the family farmers are protected so that cattle and pork people and maybe other livestock people too, but at least those, the way that the slaughterhouses, four of them own 80% of the slaughter, the marketplace really isn't working for the Midwestern livestock farmer. I'd put that at the top of my list. I would want to make sure that we continue to have a strong national defense. And the reason I'm mentioning that, because we just passed a bill over the last 3 years, each year, to make sure that we do have a better national defense. But with the Democrats coming into the presidency and knowing what Obama did to the military, we had kind of a hollow military. We want to make sure that the number one responsibility of the federal government is national defense, and that we're prepared to protect the American people. Back to Dennis.
Okay, Senator, my last question is, I guess, and I apologize, I haven't followed too closely what's happening in Georgia. My question is the Senate still controlled by the Republicans, or is that race in Georgia, has that been decided yet?
No, it would be decided January the 5th. And today, by a vote of 50-48, Republicans control the Senate, but there's two elections to come. If we win one or both of them, we will control the United States Senate. If we lose both of them, Schumer will become majority leader.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll go with you, Aaron, your last question.
Sure. Kind of following up on what I had asked you a minute ago, are there any areas you see for some potential in those goals for some bipartisan, like continued bipartisan work, as January gets going and the new session gets underway?
Yeah, fairness to the livestock farmers, a bill that Senator Tester and I have put in to make sure that 80% or at least 50% of the daily slaughter is done by negotiated prices, so farmers don't find themselves in a position of being last in line getting their cattle slaughtered, because a lot of these companies have cattle, the company owns a lot of cattle for slaughter, and we need to make sure that farmers, when they want to market, can get a fair price, and they can market on a day they want to market, and that's what the 50% rule would require. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday, Senator.
Thank you, Dennis and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.